Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm sorry you broke up, or maybe I'm breaking up. Good morning.
Okay. I just said good morning. And I'll talk to you good morning.
Yeah. You're the first one, so we'll just wait. Hopefully somebody else will come.
Judy's supposed to be on, so she texted earlier, so I'm Randala.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are studying Psalm 75 today.
And I'm going to mute.
Okay.
Me too.
Handout. Okay. The handout is on the Unique Astrological Times link or landing page. The link is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to the section about an inch or two. The section is titled Tanit Dibur, the Fast of Words. And the link to open up is Palms landing page number 2. When that landing page opens up, scroll down to Tehillim 75. And within that section, you'll find a link to the Machon Mamre website on Psalms. And when that opens up, scroll down to Psalm 75, and that's where we will start. Rabbi Sutton, in his Yearning for Redemption PDF, has not yet translated Psalm 75. And we will begin with the Psalms landing page after we do the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kutshabri Huish, Hitte, Bid Hilu, Ur Hilu, Udhilu. Udhilu Urhilu. Leakta Lishem Yudhe Bavate. Yehuda Shali Bashem Kov Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah. Lasok Torah Mitzvah. Vayino Amadiba Elohino Elena Maseya Denu Kanane Elena Maseya Denu Kananehu. How great is Israel! During their holidays, they do not engage in frivolity, but in song and praise and the study of the holiday's laws. Also, when they proclaim that the giving of the Torah, we will do and we will hear, they allowed the world to remain in existence. This psalm also admonishes those who indulge in worldly pleasures and attribute their prosperity to their own efforts. As you can see, this Kavanah, which is a traditional Kavanah, has a mixed message. It's praising Israel and admonishing those who think that they are the cause of what happens on a physical level. The first word is Lamnatseach, and I recommend you go to the Yearning for Redemption PDF file, starting at page 6. The introduction in that document is really extremely powerful and very clearly stated. and it explains the Psalms. In each of the Psalms, there is a first verse. It has a code word. Understanding that code word is important and helpful in connecting to the energy of the Psalm. There are 11 verses in Psalm 75. And 11 is a number that connects to the 10 Sephirot, plus the negative system. It connects to all of the creation. But the number 11 also connects to the Ketoret, to the incense offering in the Torah that was done daily on the in the temple, but it was had not yet been destroyed. And the incense offering is called the Ketoret, because Ketoret comes from the Shoresh that means to draw close. The fact that there are 11 verses is an indication that this psalm is a potential tool to draw you or me or us closer to Hashem. Let's transfer now to the Nebuchadnezzar Mamre Psalms page at chapter 75 or Tehillim 75. Lam Natseah Al Tashket Mizmor Le'asaf Shir. Seems we have a number of code words in this first verse. The translation of Lam Natseah is for the leader. But Lam Natseah is really a pruning tool. You're pruning away the garbage, the negativity. Al Tashchet is an unusual connection to Lam Natseah. I'm not sure what Tashchet but it's referring to an idol, because it's using the connecting word Al Tashchet, which sometimes people will interpret as a connecting word meaning to, T-O. But if you look at the letters of Tashchet, Taf Shin, Chet Ta, there's a concealed energy. The last two letters can also be Chet Tet. And the word for sin, the Chet, which is really a word for a mistake that can be corrected through Teshuvah, is spelled Tav, excuse me, Chet Tet Aleph. But sometimes it's short to just be Chet Tet. The word the Shin, we know, comes from the concept or the essence of fire, which is a code word for passion. And the Taf at the beginning of a word is part of the Hebrew grammar in conjugating a verb. So we can see that El being a word, one of the attributes of Hashem, but it gets translated as a God, but it is the God of wisdom. So Al Tashchet can be seen as Lam Natseach Al Tashchet can be seen as pruning, removing, cutting away the God of passionate sins. Mizmor LeAsaph we discussed in Psalm 74, and Asaph is usually translated as a person's name, but it has very potentially a very different meaning. And the word shir is a word for sing, for song. But it's a male song, meaning it's from the top down. This is a tool to help us prune away the passionate mistakes or our predilection to have a strong approach that is incorrect. The English translation for the leader, Al Tashchet, a psalm of Asaph, a song. But as you can see from my discussion, the translation is really not giving you the essence. Verse 2. Hodinu lecha, Elohim, hodinu v'karo shemecha, sifru nafliotecha. We give thanks unto thee, Elohim. We give thanks, and thy name is near. Men tell of thy wondrous works. This is a verse, it's the essence of it is to be thankful and to praise. When it says, men tell of thy wondrous works, it's describing praises. There are eight words. Whenever we count the number of words, and it turns out to be eight, we know this is a connection to the world that is coming, Olam Haba, because it is a connection to the Sefirah Bina, the intellect. It's outside of the physical world, which consists of the seven lower Sefirot, which is why we have seven continents, why we have seven seas, why we have seven colors in the rainbow, and why we have seven notes in music. All of this teaches us this is the physical world, which is governed by the name Elohim, the attribute of God of judgment, and also nature, because nature is a code word. The gematria of Hateva, which is nature in Hebrew, is the same as Elohim, 86. This connection to nature and judgment explains our world, our physical world. But when we have eight, we rise above that physical world to Olam Haba, to the world that is coming, to the world that has intellect, as well as emotions. And I'm not referring to the intellect associated with logic. There are 39 letters. 39 is the Hebrew word tal, tet lamed. And tet lamed, tal, is translated as dew. And in the prophecies of the Mashiach and the coming of the Mashiach, the word tal or do plays an important connecting word between the world prior to Mashiach and the world of Mashiach. Reinforcing the concept that the eight words is referring to Abba. The third verse. Ki echat moed ani mesharim eshpot. When I take the appointed time, I myself will judge with equity. Excuse me, with equity. Look at the last word, eshpot, aleph shin, pei tet. It has three of the four letters. Excuse me, it has two of the four letters. If we permutate that idea, Eshpot means judgment. Esh, the first two letters, Aleph Shin, is fire. Pei is the mouth. The fire of the mouth is nine, the number value of the tet. What is the nine? Is it yesod sexuality or is it hachma, wisdom? Can we say the fire of the mouth is wisdom? Only when it's saying words of Torah. If you have ever heard or listened to a conversation in Hebrew among two Israelis, the Sabras, the people who presently live in the land of Israel, who were born in the land of Israel, you listen to the energy of their speaking. You don't understand Hebrew, but you'll notice that it gets louder and louder because the energy is intense and it requires additional passion. For Americans or English-speaking people, this is not what happens with our conversations. But in Hebrew, the conversation gets louder and louder, and they're not yelling at each other. They're talking, but the energy of the words elevates the sound. Please disregard in verse 3 the comma after ki. That is somebody's perception from their English translations or from the Hebrew. They're saying it should be separated from the echat. But it's really three words that go together. Ki means when, but it also means if. If echat means I take. If I take, and moed means is typically translated The appointed time. What is the appointed time? It's a time that you have an appointment. Moed, we have a very strong pair of words. O-L, Moed. The tent of meeting. So now let's replace these three words in the English translations. If I take a meeting, who are you going to meet with? Who do you want to meet with? Don't you want to meet with Hashem? Or do you want to meet with people? What is the purpose? Where do you receive the most light, the most feeling of joy? When you have a connection to Hashem. Because your deepest, every human's deepest desire, many people are not in touch with that deepest desire. But every human being's deepest desire is to be close or closer to Hashem. How do you take a meeting with Hashem? Through the study of Kabbalah, through the study of Jewish meditation, through the study of the wisdom of the Torah. This is how you take a meeting with Hashem. There are six words which connects to Zeranpin. Without the unity of Malchut. But the reality is, when you are closer to Hashem, when you take a meeting with Hashem, you are the Malchut. You are in unity with Hashem. Ani Misharim, or Mesharim, Meshar is a word that is translated from straightness. What is straightness? It's truth. Straightness means a direct path. The way we get closer to Hashem is through judgment, but through judgment that is lenient. This is a teaching of the Kabbalah. This is a teaching of the Torah. Learn it well. Judge with leniency. Recently in my building, there was a man who passed away. He was a survivor of the Shoah, of the Holocaust. He was a very angry, bitter man. And people in the building were not saying they were glad he was gone, but they always talk about, in reminiscing about him, of his anger. And in my conversations with people, I tried to explain that his anger was coming from the reality that he knew we were not doing enough to bring the Shiach. Was he angry? Yes. Was he bitter? In some sense, he was bitter. But that bitterness within him was the idea of, I'm bitter because I'm not elevating. Ram, as we've spoken about in the month of Cheshvan, where it's called bitter Cheshvan, Mar Cheshvan, it elevates through Ram. Reverse the letters and it becomes an elevation. He wasn't angry. because he was angry. He was angry because he knew, and at his soul level, we were not doing enough work. He was bitter because he was striving to change the letters around. He was striving to motivate change in other people, as well as himself. It's not up to us to ever judge a victim of the Shoah. I say victim. They're described as survivors. But they learned a lot about human nature during the Shoah. If you haven't been in their shoes, you cannot judge them. And that is the message. Not in the English translation, but in understanding the message of the Hebrew. Judge with leniency, as that is the direct path to Hashem. That is the way to take a meeting with Hashem. The fourth verse. Nemogim eretz v'kol yoshvecha anochi tikanti amudecha selah. When the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved, I myself establish the pillars of it. Selah. The last word, Selah, why isn't it translated? Because it doesn't have a translation. The meaning of Selah is a pause to contemplate the message of the verse. Anohi. It's a word, a special word, that is only used in the Torah, referring to Hashem, when he says, Anochi Hashem, I am God, Elohecha, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt, the land of narrowness. How do you get out of the land of narrowness, which is the physicality, the physical world? Through contemplation. Hashem himself establishes the pillars of the world, the pillars, the support of how the world works. The world works naturally, but the nature is a God of judgment, Elohim. Hashem establishes the pillars, the support system, to keep the world in balance. And will the earth and all the inhabitants be dissolved? Yes. After the 1,000 years of the world of Mashiach, the world will dissolve. The people will dissolve. The need for the physical worlds will no longer be here, because we will have spiritualized physicality. The fifth verse. Amarti laho lehetli al taholo velar shayim al tarinu karend. I say unto the arrogant, deal not arrogantly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Karen, with different vowels, the last word in this verse, has a meaning in song. It's also a name of a feminine name. But it has a meaning. Remember, there are 10 words in Hebrew for song, for singing. Sometimes people will ask me, when you read the Aramaic in the Zohar, you're chanting. You're singing. Why do you do that? Because singing is a more direct connection to Hashem. What is the word for arrogant? Laholim. The same shorish. Kaf he lamed. Taholu. Arrogant. What is the meaning of arrogant? Do we like arrogant people? Generally, no. Because arrogance implies I'm better than you. This is a message in this verse that everyone must take to heart and learn to recognize when they are being arrogant. Because arrogance is opposite of being humble. And Hashem tells us, humbleness, not false humility, but humbleness is a goal, an attribute we need to strive for. The sixth verse. Al tarimu la marom karnechem tadaberu b'tawayer atak. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not insolence with a haughty neck. Seven words indicating the unity of Zerantin and Malchut, the spiritual with the physical. But the translation is saying, don't be arrogant, don't be haughty, don't think yourself so special. Because you have unified the spiritual with the physical. This is the path to Hashem. When you lift up the physical, or when you bring down the light of the spiritual, both directions are our task. Again, we have seven words. The unity of the physical and the spiritual. Thirty is the gematria with letter one. It's teacher. Teach not to be haughty. Learn the lesson well. Haughtiness, arrogance separates us from Hashem, God forbid. The seventh verse. Kilo mimota umi ma'arav. For neither from the east nor from the west, nor yet from the wilderness, comes lifting up. Seven words. Unity of Zerantin and Malchut, the unity of the spiritual with the physical. What is the message in this verse? lifting yourself up, bringing the physical to the spiritual. You don't need to be traveling to the east or to the west. You don't need to go into the wilderness. Lift yourself up. Make the effort. Strengthen your desire to be close to Him. Twenty-six letters connects us to Hashem. You don't have to travel to the east or the west. You don't have to go into the wilderness to connect to Hashem, to lift yourself up. The ninth verse. Ki kos b'yad Hashem v'yayim chamar male mesech v'yager mizeh. Ach shemarecha imsu yishtu koro rishe aretz. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine, full of mixture, and He pours out of the same. And then there is a space, that's what the letter N represents. It's telling us what kind of space. The P, which is in the 11th verse, is a space that goes to a new line. The N is a space that starts, means that the words start on the same line. There are 17 words. 17 is the gematria of Tov, goodness. Does this word, does this English translation feel like it's good? There's foaming wine. It means there's mixture. The wine is not steady. The wine is not serene. It's mixing up. There's a lot of chaos. Does that sound like it's a good place? But this verse is telling us with 17 words, chaos allows us to earn eternal life. Because when we overcome the chaos, we will find ourselves in a serene moment, and ultimately a serene time, which will be eternity. There are 56 letters. Fifty-six is Nun Vav. It's describing Nun Vav is His falling. Is, meaning Hashem's coming down to the physical. Isn't that good? Isn't that the goal? Verse 10. Wani agid leolam azam ra lelohe yakov. But as for me, I will declare forever. I will sing praises to the Elohim of Jacob. Six words. Zeron 10. Twenty-six letters. By praising Hashem, I'm connecting to Hashem. My consciousness is about Hashem. It's thinking of Hashem. It's being with Hashem. As modern science is learning, consciousness is everything. When you think of Hashem, you are connected to Hashem. And there is no chaos when you are connected to Hashem. Someone looking at your actions, at your life, might say, how can you handle this chaos? But you're not in chaos because you're connected to Hashem. Does it bother you that it's chaotic? Does it bother you that you don't have enough money today to pay your rent? I think I have described this earlier in the Psalms classes. But as I was studying in the Kabbalah Center, and then I had left the Kabbalah Center and I was still living in Los Angeles, I had a roommate. My roommate was an Israeli man, moved to America, and he was an artist. He would paint, and he sold his paintings. And he was supporting himself through the sale of paintings, which was very difficult to do. But when we separated from our being roommates, he moved into a gallery on a public street in the neighborhood. This is a religious neighborhood, a neighborhood with a lot of Orthodox synagogues, a lot of Orthodox people. And he lived upstairs in a loft in his gallery. But he studied Torah all day long. And there would come a notice on his door. Rent or quit. Most people, you get a notice like that, you run around to everybody you know for help. Can I borrow some money? Can you give me some money? How can I pay my rent in 3 days, 4 days, 5 days? You're worried. My friend was not. My friend studied Torah. And month after month, posted notice after posted notice, at the last minute, someone would come into his shop and hand him a check sufficient for the rent. Or some months, the landlord would come and say, I'm going to let this go this month. Make sure you pay more next month. Hashem provided. It was his certainty that created these actions of these people. His certainty allowed Hashem to send these people to him, some with the checks, some with the landlord saying, it's okay right now. praises to Hashem whenever you are in stress. The Kabbalah teaches that stress is an indication that your vessel is too small for the light that wants you to reveal it. Sing praises and grow your vessel so that you can reveal the light that Hashem wants you to reveal. It's a very different outlook on stress. Try it. You might find it works. I'm saying tongue in cheek because I know it works. It's just not easy to do. The 11th verse. V'kol karnei rishayim agadeya v'rom amna karno tzadik. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. And the P represents an open space to the next psalm. Will you continue to be a rasha, an evil, a wicked person? Or will you change and become righteous, be a tzaddik? Every action you make, you can be either rasha or wicked, because what is your consciousness? I use this in my basic classes, and it's a very easily understood metaphor. You see in Walmart or some other store that you're shopping in, you see a toddler, a two-year-old, throwing a tantrum, and the mother doesn't know how to get the child off the ground. Does she let him scream until he tires himself off? Does she force him to stand up? Does she grab him? Does she hug him? What does she do? And sometimes we'll see her give the child a pachka on the tushy, on the backside. We've all seen it happen. Is it a righteous thing to do, to hit the little child? The answer is it can be. If the mother is concerned about the people staring at her, thinking she might be a horrible mother, and that is what her concern is, other people's thoughts and judgments, the pachka is a rasha, it's a wicked act. But if she's thinking, I have to teach this child to behave because he needs to live in this physical world with other people. So I will give him the pachka to stop, to wake up, to learn. If that's her consciousness, it's a righteous act. And she has become a tzedeket, a tzaddik in the feminine form. Which are you at this moment? It's easy for me to say I'm the one reading the Psalms. It's easy for you to think you're righteous because you're studying the Psalms. Question is, where is your consciousness? That's the end of this Psalm. We're almost out of time, but we do have time to finish, to complete the Hebrew reading as we do with all the Psalms. So I will be reading the Psalms sequentially in the Hebrew. Lam natzeach al tishket mizmor liasa shir hodinu lecha Elohim Odinu v'karo shemecha Sibru nis li otecha Moed Ani Mesharim Meshpot Nimogin Ayeret Sukal Yashveha Anochi Tikanti Amudeha Sela. Amarti Leholim Al Teholu Litwilar Shaim Al Terimu Keretarim Al Tarimu La Marom Karnechem Tadabiru Bitsawayer Atah Kilo mimotza umimarav, willo mimid bar harim, ki Elohim shopet, ze yashpil vize yarim, ki kos beyad adonai yohe wahe, yohe dawanu heya, yo. Uyayin chamar male, mesech vayager, mize ach shemarecha, imtu yishtu korish rishay arets. Vani agid leolam, hazamra lelohe Yaakov. With all Tarnay Rishaim Agadea Tiromamna Tarnot Tzadik. That's the end of our class. Are there any questions? And while you're unmuting yourselves, Motzi Shabbat. We will have a class in the Zohar for the Parsha Bo. 10:30 Sunday morning, we will have a class on the Book of Job. At 3 o'clock, we will have continue our advanced reincarnation class. And at 4:30, we will have our Rosh Chodesh connection. I hope you'll join us. Are there any questions?
Would you repeat the time of the Rosh Chodesh connection?
It is at 4:30 West Coast time, 6:30 your time, 7:30
okay.
My time.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Shabbat Shalom. Have a beautiful Shabbat.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom.
Have the
Thank
consciousness
you.
Of leaving Egypt again. Still.
Shabbat Shalom.
For the first time. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you all.
Thank you
Shalom
all.
Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Shalom Gadol.